The proud defender of the American dream, Rick Smith.
I gotta be honest, I'm kind of struck at how some of the pundits on the far right are saying that the election of Connor Lamb was just a fluke. The Democrats couldn't possibly replicate it. I mean, he was to use the Paul Ryan frame, a unique candidate. And I would go, no, I don't think he's unique at all. I think there are a lot of veterans running on the Democratic side, a lot of folks who are talking about the issues. I got to tell you, where I think is different is there's a lot more engagement, a lot more people taking to what's going on and eyes open, feet in the street. And I think, you know, if this continues, bloodbath in November. But here to come talk a little bit about yesterday's big election in Pennsylvania's 18th congressional district, I've asked Nate Lerner to come talk with us. He's a grassroots director for Build the Wave. Nate, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, always great to be here. Thank you for having me.
So what do you say to the argument that, you know what, that election, it was a fluke? You know, granted, you know, Trump won it by 20 points. Granted, you know, there hasn't been a candidate that bothered to run in the last couple elections. It was just a fluke.
I mean, that's some Kellyanne Conway level spin there. It's wildly inaccurate. It ignores really basic facts, that a lot of which you just pointed out right then and there, which is, 2 years ago, literally the last election cycle for this race, or for this district, Trump handedly won it. The Republican incumbent didn't even have a challenger, and he, in his previous elections, didn't have any strong opponents either, who he just ran right over. This was the 115th most competitive congressional district, if you look at the numbers, and it should have been a slam dunk for Republicans by all means, and they, not only did they drop the ball, but they were handedly out-campaigned by Democrats and by folks getting involved from all over the country.
And I also argue, you know, the power of organized labor. I know that a lot of people are trying to dismiss the strength that union members have in this country, but that district, they were out in full force.
Absolutely. And I think if you look at Pennsylvania, that's a place where unions are still very strong and they have a very strong presence, and you see it in races like this where they can make all the difference. And one thing I like to point out, too, is, you know, a lot of people like to compare this upset to Doug Jones, but I would say in a lot of ways it's almost bigger because Roy Moore was very heavily disliked in the state, but Rick Starkone, he was pretty popular. He was a veteran also. He'd been a relatively successful politician in a more moderate area for 8 years. He had a lot of name recognition. He was well-liked. He wasn't, you know, great, but he wasn't an absolutely crazy person like Roy Moore was. And also the district, you know, there were very few minorities there. Doug Jones got a lot of assistance from an amazing turnout among African Americans. That was not there in PA 18 because it was a very, very white district.
And you're absolutely right. And, you know, look, for me, in looking at this, I think Lamb was a very good candidate for that district. But more importantly, I think Saccone ran on the Trump message. He claimed to be Trump before Trump. He ran on the same bad policies, and I got to say, this is that district, pushing back on what has happened.
Yes, I mean, Trump is still pretty popular in that district. He turned out a big crowd, but I think people are fired up about the Trump brand and Trumpism and the general intolerance that he preaches. A lot of these backwards views, I think there's still, unfortunately, a little too much enthusiasm for, but Trump as a whole, he's not really getting folks motivated the way he used to. And Starkone was not able to tap into that either and get Republicans fired up. They did not turn out in good numbers. And if anything, it really fired up Democrats there and pushed a lot of the moderates who are not satisfied. So Trump is still popular, but really in a shrinking base of supporters while everyone else is coming to the left.
Now, I look at this, and the question then becomes, you know, what lessons do other candidates learn about how to run a campaign? Because, you know, there's a bunch of messages for me in this that if you run on Democratic principles, if you you run a good candidate, Democrats can be competitive anywhere.
Yep, and he's really the perfect example of, you know, how we can win in more moderate areas. He wasn't everyone's dream liberal candidate, but he was still a strong Democrat. He didn't shy away from that. And a good candidate is going to win really no matter where you put them. If they run a strong campaign and they you know, believe in what they stand for, which he clearly did.
Now, in looking at the, as you pointed out, there was a lot of groups doing a lot of on the ground work. And look, this is an exciting time for engagement. This is an exciting time for activism. You know, we're seeing people in the streets from, you know, places, you know, West Virginia, Kentucky, all across the country today, kids out in the streets. You know, what's this cycle going to mean to kind of harness that activism and move it into the political realm? Do you see that happening?
Yeah, I think I hope it happens. I believe it will. I know there's a lot of great groups out there doing a lot of great work that are working to make it happen. The important thing, though, is that people understand that this work matters and it is going to be the difference maker. You see, you know, the polls show that in general, Democrats are more popular now, you know, than Republicans by a mile. But at the same time, what's really going to help in those gerrymandered districts, it's going to help in those areas with a lot of voter suppression, you know, those really, really tight races, is this big wave of grassroots action on the ground, pushing those extra voters out, bringing those moderates over, getting the base fired up. You know, that's, I think, what made the difference in this race, is just everyone coming in and helping out, and that's what's going to make the difference nationwide. Yeah. So it's not enough just to rely on anti-Trump sentiment. We need action, and so people need us to engage and involve.
Yeah, so in looking at Connor Lamb, because, you know, I've had a bunch of people emailing me and say, well, you know, he's no lefty. I go, but, you know, he's right on the issues. And I think, you know, someone who's more moderate, as long as you're right on the issues, I don't think it really matters, does it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is what's funny is I remember, you know, I was promoting Connor Lamb pretty heavily. We definitely want to get the word out. And we got a little pushback for it because some folks said, oh, you know, he's not liberal on this or that. He's a little more moderate on gun control. But I said, look, if you want someone who's actually going to fight for common sense gun laws, as opposed to being resistant to any sort of reform, we need a Democrat in office. If you want someone who's going to hold Trump accountable as opposed to going over him, we need a Democrat in office. If you want someone who's going to protect the ACA, we need a Democrat in office. It doesn't matter who the Democrat is in many cases. It just has to be a Democrat. That being said, there are a lot of districts, like this race coming up in Illinois, where we want progressive Democrats leading the agenda and pushing away. But a district like this, where you had a 19% gap to make up for just 2 years ago, you really needed a candidate that more moderate conservatives could get behind, and Connor Lamb fit that bill very well. Doug Jones also fit that bill well. But I think in our more safe districts, we definitely need to push for progressives to be our candidates.
So is the lesson out of this maybe to have you know, the Democratic Party as a whole, you know, that maybe the National Party stay out of these local elections and really allow for local candidates to kind of fight it out to get the best candidate possible?
100%. I think it's the perfect example of that. You know, there's the argument is made by the National Party that, oh, they want to step in and make sure the right candidate runs and wins in certain more moderate places. But look what happened here. We had this is a district where you needed a moderate candidate, and one of them stepped up. Voters recognize that, and the party, they're not stupid. They can tell, you know, they know their district better than anyone else does. They know who's going to win in their district. They're going to pick the right man or woman for the job. We saw that in Texas as well. And, you know, maybe some of the candidates were a bit too progressive for the Republicans there, but that doesn't matter, because if the base is fired up, if they're working really hard every day, if they're donating, if they're involved, they're going to turn out Democrats in record numbers, and that's going to make the difference. So we need to leave it up to folks on the ground who actually know those districts better. And the way the party can help is by bringing in money, not by telling, you know, who should run and who shouldn't.
Right, and not by micromanaging the campaigns either. But, you
exactly.
know, you bring up the fact of money. And look, this, you know, Connor Lamb was horribly outspent, as I think most Democratic candidates are going to be, because a lot of them, and I think Lamb was one of them who didn't take corporate money or PAC money, if I'm not mistaken. You know, and we're seeing these pledges across the country where Democratic candidates are kind of pushing that off. How do you run campaigns when you're going to be so badly outspent? Because you're not going to have all the energy and all of the bodies that you had, like in PA's 18th for this special election, for every election.
Yeah, I mean, that's really a balancing act. And I think, again, this is where we need to be pragmatic. If a candidate wants to do that, that's great. Then we need to really come to their aid and push for them and fight for those candidates harder than we do for others. But we can't hold against those who don't, because the reality is that in this day and age, it's still very, very difficult to win without that kind of money. And if you're not a well-known candidate, the best way to get your name out there is still television, sadly. And that requires a lot of money, and you'll just get crushed if you have a Republican who's, you know, 10 times better funded than you are. So that, you know, that can be a really big difference maker. But on the flip side, small dollar donations can make all the difference. We're seeing that right now with Randy Bryce, with Beto O'Rourke, with my organization, Build the Wave. All the work we did was entirely built from small dollar donations, and without that, that would have been absolutely impossible. And that, it adds up very quickly, and people need to recognize that $10, $25 can make all the difference for a candidate.
Well, we heard all during 2016, $27, Nate.
Exactly. So let me, what is it for Bernie Sanders?
Yeah, so let me ask you, you know, about your group, Build the Wave. Who started it? How did you start it? What's the goal? What are you doing?
So I'm the founder of the organization, but I want to focus primarily on grassroots, so I've fallen into that role. We're actively bringing in other folks right now, working here on the ground with friends of mine, including the Brooklyn Young Dead. But we're currently building this effort where basically we want to start connecting Democrats with the races that matter. That's our message. We wanted to recognize that it's not just the race in your backyard that's important. It's what's happening nationally. In Alabama, the race last night in Pennsylvania, this is a perfect example of why this matters. Because you get folks from all over involved in these races, that really pushes the needle pretty far. It makes a dramatic difference. But a lot of people don't know which races to get involved in. It's not like a special election where it's, you know, we have one race to focus on. It's not like Randy Bryce or Beto O'Rourke where you have a high-profile Republican that you want to defeat. There's a lot of these hidden races that are governor's races, Senate races, congressional races, you know, what have you. And folks really just don't know about them because there's so many elections coming up in November that we have to pay attention to. So what we're going to do from now to the spring is help people find these races, help them get involved. We found text banking is incredibly effective. We sent almost 100,000 texts for Connor Lamb. And we're looking to do similar efforts pretty much on a weekly basis for different Democrats throughout the nation that we've identified as critical.
And I look at this, and the lesson I think that I'm hoping people will take also from this PA 18th is that, you know, there wasn't a candidate in that seat for a couple of elections, I understand, and the ones that they had were just kind of placeholders. To me, it's almost we're at this point where Democrats have got to do what Newt Gingrich did back in the 90s and, you know, almost guarantee that every race has a candidate. Every race has some support. And, you know, like groups like yours, connecting people together, I think this is a good thing.
Absolutely. And what's so critical of running everywhere is it can really make a big difference nationally and make a big difference in the long term. You know, we need to be thinking big picture. We have a long road ahead of us. It's not just 2018. It's 2020, it's 2022, 2024, and so on. And so, you know, if we get competitive Democrats running in places where we didn't see that before, A, that's a huge money drain for Republicans. This race alone, Republicans dumped $10 million into when they should have had to spend zero. You know, think about that. That's a lot of money you're going to donors to ask for, a lot of money they're going to corporations to ask for, and now they have to go back again after having lost in a couple months for November races. It's not fun to do that. And then when they have to start doing the same thing for races that, again, should be slam dunks, it's a huge resource drain. And then also you're building up this coalition, this base of local Democrats who are activists, who are involved, who know there's, you know, they're building up this political infrastructure locally for Democrats when you run competitive candidates. So you may not win in 2018 if you're a new candidate in a very difficult district, but you've started to build up this infrastructure that will pay off down the road. That's how we win in these really, really tough places like Pennsylvania 18, where Republicans have a stronghold.
And the other part of it is, you know, something I've said, you know, for years, is that even if you're going to take a beating, you go out and you fight the good fight. You get your message out there. And sadly, in a lot of districts, especially in Pennsylvania, for House races or Senate races, there's no one running for those races because the state is so badly gerrymandered. But, you know, for me, it's always, you know, there should be someone at least putting the message out and fighting the good fight.
Yeah, Pennsylvania is especially gerrymandered. It's pretty horrendous. And I think that's a great point. And Bernie Sanders, I think, speaks very, very much to that. I remember the first reason I donated to him was because I simply wanted him to get his message out there. I really liked his thing, and I wanted more people to hear that. And what's funny is I talked to a lot of other people who had the exact same message. They didn't really think he was going to win. I didn't really know a ton about him, but I liked what he was saying, and I wanted more people to hear that. And if you say good things, if you bring good policy ideas to the table and you're authentic about it, you know, people are going to get behind you, and you'd be surprised how far that can carry a candidate, especially this year.
Yeah, I donated to Sanders' campaign because he was the first person I ever interviewed on this program back in 2005. Because he was that's fantastic. Right then, and he's right now. And, you know, to me, you know, on the issues, I think, you know, we need people like that. And it's good that we've got folks like you who are out there bringing people together. Last question I've got. If folks want to volunteer, they want to be part of building the wave, how do they do that?
That's an excellent question. They go to buildthewave.org. They can also Twitter at buildthewave or look up our Facebook, buildthewave. We're still pretty new, but we have found tremendous success with text banking. We had over 250 volunteers, then almost 100,000 texts, and that was just in the final weeks of the race. We're going to be doing this every week for a different candidate. It's a really good way to stay informed, to get active, especially if you're not a huge fan of talking on the phone. This can make all the difference for these candidates.
Every point of contact possible, I guess, right?
Absolutely. And it's, like I said, it's what's going to really move the needle in these really close races, like we saw last night.
Good stuff. Nate, I appreciate you taking some time for us. I'd love to have you come back again as these races heat up and things get moving on down the road to November.
Absolutely. Always happy to.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, Nate Lerner. He's the grassroots director at Build the Wave, buildthewave.org, their website. We'll get a link at therickSmithShow.com. Quick break, right back after this. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.